And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is a walk through the mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas and get a conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So how funny things within this universe work out. Just the other week, I finished talking about wrenching on my cars and wondering about how long to keep it around. And then I get an update on my computer just a handful of days later, forcing obsolescence of my operating system. There seems to be a lot of things lately that are dealing with that planned obsolescence kind of scenario. And cars are definitely not outside that conversation. We're having that conversation globally right now, very heavily here in the United States, whether or not we're keeping gasoline and diesel vehicles around, whether or not we're going to phase out petroleum-style products for heating and energy-type means. And so there's a forced out obsolescence kind of a situation. But these things have been going on. They've been held together for quite some time. And although there's some central planning behind it, the term planned obsolescence doesn't necessarily go completely hand-in-hand with at least the cars and the energy, necessarily. Planned obsolescence has its background with light bulbs. Way back in the day, early 1925, according to the Book of Knowledge, Wikipedia, a handful of companies, Osram, General Electric, Associated Electrical Energy, Electrical Industries, and Philips, just to name a handful from this page, got together and formed what they called the Phoebus Cartel, where they would collude together and control the overall output of how long a light bulb would last, making sure it would only last a certain number of hours and the filament, that little piece of wire that goes across the two pieces of metal, would fail. The light bulb is made to work with that little piece of wire, very special type of metal that when electricity goes through, it burns it real hot. And all of the oxygen is taken out of the light bulb and usually replaced with another gas to make sure that the little filament, that little piece of wire, doesn't just incinerate itself and disappear into a cloud of dust. And that's what makes them last so long. Then once the exchange of chemicals has reached its peak, the filament then dies off and goes on its way. Technology has come a long way on how long light bulbs work and last. Definitely helps that the shift of energy, the pulse that comes down the wires of the energy, stays consistent and the same, so we're not shifting the voltage, changing how hot that piece of wire is burning and cooking, again, making it so it lasts a lot longer. And there was a point in time where people were having a problem with this because this planned obsolescence situation kept cropping up in people's minds. Rather big kind of deal. The Phoebus Cartel fell apart towards 1939. They blamed it on the war. Supposedly, they only wanted this cartel to last a handful of years so they could get out of it scot-free and no one would know. But because they did it, because they colluded at a certain point in time for a handful of years, people knew that shenanigans were afoot. And so someone came around and instead of finding a way to build a better mousetrap, they found a way to invent a better light bulb. And eventually came the fluorescent light bulb, those things that hum in the background as we do our work at the office. And the hum doesn't always come specifically from the light bulb. It comes from the ballast that's in there that takes that pulse width from the power lines, and it changes it just enough, changes the voltage and the wattage, and shoots it into that light tube that we call fluorescent light bulbs to ignite just the gas. There's no filament. There's no piece of metal in there. Maybe on the outsides, on either end, where the electrodes poke through. But it's just gas in those tubes. And so we were able to create a phenomenal beam of light, essentially opening up a much broader area than what a small little, what is it, A19 size bulb is able to illuminate for a room, casting only a certain amount of light. Whereas these fluorescents, we mount them up high in the ceiling and they illuminate all sorts of space. And they use up a whole bunch less energy than the equivalent number of regular old light bulbs that we need to string together to get the same amount of light. But again, they hummed. They didn't put off the same kind of light. And so we've done a really big job of sticking to the incandescents. Halogens have made quite the stay on the market. A lot of us have those in our kitchens over the cooking area where they shine bright specific light. Those are usually the light bulbs that are found in cars for the most part, halogen. It's probably more the gas that's inside that helps the filament last a little bit longer, burns at a specific temperature. But again, technology has improved. Fluorescents have improved. They've even gotten smaller, as again, we've attempted to improve on the light bulb. And a handful of years ago, probably a little bit more than a handful, compact fluorescent light bulbs. They'd be the same size as the regular incandescent light bulbs, but they'd fit in your regular old lamp. You'd fit them in there. And they would use less energy. They definitely would. But you couldn't throw them away the same because they had mercury in them. You had to dispose of them properly. I had some of those in my last house and never really appreciated them. But due to the style of socket, I had some silly, instead of a threaded, twisted in socket, I had two little pins on the back of the light bulbs that I had to buy. Unless I wanted to replace the light fixtures, twist and lock those into place. And these CFLs, these smaller compact fluorescent light bulbs that I had to use throughout most of the house, they would work, but you had to let them warm up to get the full aspect of light. I'm rather stickler for light, not a big fan of LED flashlights for the most part. LEDs have come a long way. They've come a very long way from the first iteration of compact or flashlights that used LEDs. The way the light reflects off of things, it didn't work. The color contrast was not right. The brightness was not correct. The color itself of the light emitting diode didn't work out so well. So I at least appreciated these CFLs that I had. But any time that I could use a regular incandescent light bulb, that's what I used. Even if they did last a lot less, the instant light, the more natural light in the way that the filament burns, was very important to me. Very important on the rooms that I put these in. The kitchen, I want specific light. The bathroom, I want specific light for being able to see things. And bedrooms need the little softer light, and you could get away with the CFLs, but I'd prefer not to. Again, just how long it takes for them to warm up, to get all of those little ions bouncing around inside those tubes to make it so that way they burned at the correct temperature. And now we face planned or forced obsolescence again, a way of getting rid of things. I can't find President Biden's statement on why he's passing through on CFLs, getting rid of those to force replace those with LEDs. But this seems to be on its surface, till I can figure out more specifically what is going on. President Biden has decided to phase out CFLs on new standards, wants to double the energy efficiency from 45 lumens per watt to 120 lumens per watt. And the light bulbs that we have today, the LEDs, with the new color systems, the new way that they're getting them to burn. And they don't even really burn. LEDs don't burn. They just create light somehow. The magic. And they make good light. Again, LEDs have come so very far. And they're much more efficient than regular light bulbs and definitely the CFLs. And so we get to save a little bit of money on energy. Until everybody saves so much money on energy that the energy company doesn't make money, so they have to raise their rates to balance the checkbooks. But it's not necessarily all for naught. It's a means of, again, making sure we're a little bit more green. Hopefully, we don't have a Phoebus cartel out there to control the lifespan of these new LED light bulbs. And LEDs don't burn out, but they have little printed circuit boards on the inside of all of them. And all those little circuit boards all have little diodes and capacitors and resistors and one-way switches and whatnot. That can all fail. They can fail tomorrow. They can fail 6 years from now, 30 years from now. All just depends on the amount of usage they've gone through. But that's our lifestyle now. That's kind of where we're going with everything, making sure that everything's just a little bit more digital, a little bit more technical. And I do have to say I've bought some recently cheaper LED CFL, not compact, but the regular fluorescent length, those long tube ones. But there's no tube in there. There's no tube of light. It's just a straight up bar of LEDs. And those are a fantastic replacement for the old style tubes. I don't think I'll buy another tube style setup. Very happy with the LED situation. They're definitely cheaper. Not sure on the throwaway situation. There's definitely a lot fewer pieces. Can't recycle the ballast because there is no ballast. And so I guess we have to start looking at when we throw away our LED bulbs instead of throwing those in the trash like we do with everything else. Like I'm sure we may or may not have done with our CFLs, even though those are supposed to be specially processed. Our LED light bulbs, those should be specially processed. But the time and energy to break those down to get out all of the precious metals is not cost effective for computers. We send those to third world countries and they break them apart in the rivers and poison everything. Last I knew. I'm sure things have improved since my minimal research that I've put in over the years. Not up on all of the current standards. But I see these new LEDs, these new LED light bulbs, kind of like the CFLs before them, falling into the same category as styrofoam. Styrofoam, number 6, polystyrene. Very recyclable. I had something that came in packed in styrofoam the other day, big old chunks of it. Nice big number 6 with the recycling symbol on there. And where do I take it? Can't take it anywhere. No one wants to recycle it. There's no money in it. So it goes in the trash, goes to the landfill, fill it up, throw all the other garbage in there, right? That's what we do. But these LEDs, these LED light bulbs, back in the day, there used to be TV repairmen. Those guys got put out of business because it was cheaper for energy-wise, and not just energy, but labor. Labor being the expensive bit. People like getting paid money for the work that they do. Can't fix an LED. Well, you can fix an LED TV, but it costs you more money to go get it fixed, be it a cracked screen or just a burnt-out diode, burnt-out capacitor. Throw it in the trash heap with everything else. Don't pay someone to fix it. Pay someone $1,000 to fix your broken TV because one little capacitor went out. Or spend $800 and go get a new TV. Whatever the price balance is on whatever it is. So maybe we're out of this planned obsolescence phase on light bulbs. Maybe we get a little bit greener of a situation. More energy efficiency. We get light bulbs when you turn them on. They are the color that you want them to be. Don't have to wait for them to warm up. LEDs are now dimmable. When we first had LEDs, they weren't really dimmable, but now they are. CFLs never were, as far as I know. So we're moving up and on in the world, fighting this planned obsolescence, fighting the big light bulb, big energy, raking things in. But before I go, I guess there's one little fun fact I guess I can roll in here with these LED light bulbs. Something that I learned not too long ago. I was given, as a gift before I left, some of those light bulbs that you download the app and it changed the colors. And if you got the certified app, you can set up a timer on them and whatnot. They're all the Wi-Fi controlled ones. I went out and I bought a separate router because I don't want those on my main router. I don't need them talking to whatever other computers on there, signaling home base, that they've got whatever information scanning my brain. It's okay, I got a tinfoil hat. It's okay. But these light bulbs, they're pretty snazzy. I respect them. I don't use them as much as I would like to because I need an app to change the colors. You can turn them on and off. They turn a soft 60-watt, kind of soft white. They're pleasant enough, but they change colors. That's the point of using them. And all I thought they did was talk to their little home base that talks to the router, so that way whatever magic works, they talk to the phone to be able to turn on and off. And I thought that's all they did. Well, in the process of doing some electrical replacement in this new house, changing out some sockets and whatnot, I invested in a new tool. Used to have just a thing you plugged into the wall to see if the outlet was on or not, see if it was hot. Run up and down the stairs, make sure that, you know, the outlet is specifically off. But this new fancy tool, you plug one end into the outlet that you want to find the breaker for, and then you go down to your breaker box, where all the breakers are, where the switches are, your switch panel. And then you take the other half of this thing and you trace over all of them a couple times, and it learns what thing is sending, what's sending a signal backwards. It sends a little beacon through the wire saying, hey, I'm on this outlet. And as I did this the first time, I got a light beep, 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 beep from one of the spots and a high beat, high revelations. And I thought that was weird from coming from two different breakers. So I turned off the one with the higher pitched, more oscillating beeping tone. And I go and I look at my outlet and it's still on. It's weird. All right. Went back to the power surge box, flipped that one back, went to the other one that was beep, 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 just a light beep. And that was the one I was looking for. That was the switch. Didn't know what was going on. Had to go to the next electrical spot within the house to switch the power supply. And that same original one with the brrr, the high oscillating frequency situation was still going. I was wondering what was going on. And eventually, as I came back around through the house after finishing up the electrical work, I saw that those light bulbs, those color-changing Wi-Fi-controlled light bulbs that I had, the lamps were on. Because with the light bulbs, you don't turn the lamp off. You tell the app to turn the light bulb off. It's kind of a weird feature. Used to these things on the wall where you kind of flip a switch and changes the electricity flow. But these light bulbs were on. They weren't the same color that I left them the last time I was playing with them. They were back to their standard 60-watt soft white hue. And so those light bulbs, those fancy color-changing light bulbs, send a signal backwards through the electrical system, communicating whatever they're communicating. And so all I can imagine is, if it's reaching my surge protector panel, whatever that's called, it's reaching my power meter that the power company reads and understands. And if you got one of those smart meters, it's definitely saying, hey, there's light bulbs that are on right now. Whether or not they're on or off, I don't know how it interprets the signal. But as we put more and more of these chips, these printed circuit boards into our electronics, how many more of them are going to backfeed through our electrical system? How much more difficult will it make that new tool that I bought? Have I already gone through a forced obsolescence situation with that? Almost. I only have the light bulbs on one outlet. But as more and more technology comes through, it's going to have more and more of these chips to send information backwards. The power company will know more and more about what energy I'm using. More specifically, what device I may be using. Because although I only hear the certain pitch of this one device that's listening to the signal, who knows what kind of Morse code beacon it's sending backwards. And so maybe at a point in time, we'll be at a point where, due to energy restrictions and how much energy costs, how much energy is available, your dishwasher or your dryer won't turn on because the energy is not available. Then it sends that beacon backwards through your electricity circuits. Or maybe I'm just hitting the point of paranoia and I think they're all out to get me. But that can't be true. No one's out to get me. Hopefully not. Not the energy companies, they haven't heard about me yet. Y'all haven't been sharing this voice enough. That's okay. I'm not for everybody. Because I'm Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter and Gab. Go ahead and share this episode. Get the energy company talking about me. We'll get this conversation going. I'm also on Mastodon, the Fediverse. You find me at Billy Bones at noagendasocial.com. If all that's too much, that's okay. Easy enough to share just a website, billybones.com. Remember, that's spelled with the number 3 instead of an E. And I know it's kind of confusing. Billy Bond 3S, according to some people, but that's okay. But on the website, there's show notes, very minimal show notes today. There's links to past episodes. There's links to email. There's links to the SoundCloud. There's a link on there that says value for value. I release this podcast with no sponsors, no advertisements, and in attempts to respect your time, hoping that you find some modicum of value out of this. Maybe, again, it's just a point to get the gears turning with your own head, let you think about something new for a while, change up the pace. But if you found value out of this episode, or the entire catalog, fantastic, I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do in repayment, then the exchange of value that you feel you've received, the first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else can find a talking point, a reason to go down a rabbit hole of discovery on their own. Again, have that conversation either with you or someone else that they know. And we can get the global, the collective consciousness talking a little bit more on the same channel. But if you feel that this show, again, just a solo episode or the entire catalog, is worth a monetary value, be that a dollar, maybe as much as a beer or a coffee, but if you want to send me a Ferrari or one of those nice new Porsches, I wouldn't say no. You can send that equivalent in Satoshis through your Podcasting 2.0 compliant app. If you don't have one of those, go check out newpodcastapps.com. Go there. Select one, try something new, get a whole list of unbannable podcasts. Can't just be wiped off with some executive's desire. But if you feel that I've deserved Federal Reserve Freedom Units, otherwise known as the U.S. dollar, again, you go to the website, billybones.com, you scroll all the way down, you click the value for value button, it'll take you to PayPal. You can chip in, you can donate, you can support the show, whatever number you feel is appropriate. But I'd like to thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.